You may have experienced something like this at your house. Your kids want some fancy sneakers. Everybody's got the fancy sneakers, and your kids want them too. Steve Economides says the question is not, can you afford to buy your children those sneakers? The question is, what's the best decision you can make for your kids?
If I earned $100,000 a year, and I was able to afford to give my kids the $200 sneakers, what I've done is I've handcuffed them to my earning level. Let's say they never attain that level. The struggles they're going to experience trying to replicate our lifestyle are epic. If I teach them to spend what they've earned and they exceed my earning, have I handicapped them at all? No, they're equipped.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. You'll have to pardon my voice today, but we are going to talk about how you can raise children who are money smart and can be financially independent. That's a good thing to talk about, don't you think? Stay tuned. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. You know, we're in the studio today with Crystal Payne, who has a blog for moms called Money Saving Moms. We've got Steve and Annette Economides,
who changed their last name to be able to write a book about money. I mean, what a name.
I know, Economides. They are known as America's cheapest family. And I was thinking, I need to come up with a slogan like that for you, something. And I'm still working on what it'll be. But I think we should come up with something like that.
We're going to come up with all kinds of great advice today about how to handle your budget, your money, your savings, and your givings. So, Crystal, Steve, Annette, welcome back to Family Life Today.
It's great to be here.
Crystal, you've written a book called The Money Saving Mom's Budget, and Steve and Annette have written one called The Money Smart Family System. And this system that you guys talk about here is 5, 50, 500. Explain what 5, 50, 500 is all about.
Years ago, I was in the advertising industry, and we did a lot of interfacing with printers. And I had an old printer salesman come to me one day, and he said, when you set up this ad for this magazine, make sure you proof your work. I'm sitting there going, this is a strange thing to say. He said, because if you proof your work well, and you catch a typo at the typesetting stage, it'll cost you $5. If you catch it when we go to film before it goes on the press, it's going to cost you $50. And if we catch it on the press and have to stop the presses, it's going to cost you $500 an hour. So proof your work. Well, it didn't really click then, but as we started raising kids, and we have five kids, and we started seeing unlearned lessons that they would experience, notice that the price tag kept escalating.
The older they get.
Every time they repeated a lesson, the cost went up. And so we're sitting down getting ready to write this book, which is our third book, and it's basically how to transfer what we've learned about managing money, being a steward, to our kids. And we realized that's the principle.
So the $5 stage is 0 to 5, 0 to 6. And back then, if you give in to whatever, a tantrum, it's going to cost you $5. Between 6 and 11, if you give in to the impulse urges, it's going to be $50. 12 to 17 is 500. That's laptops, cell phones. 17 to 23 is $5,000. That's school tuition, cars, credit card bailouts. And 24 and above is $50,000, and we have actually interfaced with people that are in this position where they're dealing with custody battles, divorces, home foreclosures, car repossessions. And we see parents today bailing their children out. 60% of all parents out there today are supporting their adult children financially. Crystal is a rarity. Mm-hmm. She's a needle in a haystack.
Now, the 550-500 rule is the downside. And what we did in the book was we talked about how can you defeat that rule? Because we really want to empower parents to train their kids to be financially independent and really realize that they're not raising children, they're raising future adults. So how do you do that? So basically, every time your child wants something and you find a way for them to pay for it themselves or to earn it, now you've just defeated the rule. And you've freed yourself from funding the entitlement mentality, and you've trained your child to be self-responsible and self-reliant.
The kids are going to learn these lessons at some point. If they learn them when it's a $5 lesson,
it's way better.
It helps them. It helps everybody, as opposed to a $50 or a $500. You're just saying, let's plant these truths in their heart. Young,
absolutely,
right?
But Bob, what we've told in many of our interviews is you can start anywhere along the way. I mean, we have 24 chapters in this book talking from when they're young and they're preschool age to starting when they're teenagers and you're dealing with part-time jobs and getting ready for college and all the way up to adult. What do you do when you do have, you've missed the boat, so to speak, okay? You didn't transfer the baton. Now you've got adult children that are coming to you asking for money. How do you help them? You know, you give them a fish, you feed them for a day, you teach them to fish, mm-hmm. you feed them for a lifetime. So what can you do? And our book has chapters that deal with every single age and issue.
Let me take this all the way back to when the two of you got married, when you two met. We asked the question earlier about Crystal, where she was on my 1 to 5 scale, with 1 being a tightwad and 5 being extravagant. And she said she was a 1, maybe nudging over to a 2. So where were you, Annette, when you first met your husband?
Actually, I wasn't that thrifty when I first met my husband.
She loved clothes.
Yeah, my mom, she loved to spend money. Yeah. And that's how I was discipled, right?
Okay.
But we had pretty much nothing to live on when we first got married. And it was either sink or swim. Either we had to figure out how to survive or we weren't going to make it. So I was a 3 when we got married, but now I would put myself in the 2 category, the thrifty, but I would still say I was generous because there's a lot of missionaries that we support. Mm. So
when we first got married, I was earning $6.50 an hour as a paste-up artist at a printing company. Annette wanted to stay home and manage our home. She'd never run a home before. And we read in Titus where it talks about be workers at home. And she took that to heart. She felt like that was God's calling on her. So we decided, and we both had no debt from college, which was a miracle. We decided she would stay home. I would work one job. Now, my dad told me I should work 2 jobs. Annette should work a job. We should save all the money we could and be in a house in 3 years. We decided that we were going to trust God to provide and to work that out, because Psalm 127 talks about it's vain to rise early, go to bed late, to eat the bread of painful labor. God gives to his beloved even in their sleep. That's crazy talk, but it's true.
And 3 years later, we were
3 years later,
we
had 15% to put down on a house. We paid that house off in 9 years.
It was a repossession, needed a lot of elbow grease, but painting is easy.
Right. We paid it off on an average income of $33,000.
Wow.
In the same amount of time, by the time we sold that house, we had 5 kids. We paid cash for 2 cars and taken vacation. So the system worked. And what really happened was in our marriage prep class, before we got married, we learned about budgeting from Larry Burkett. And actually had the pleasure of meeting him a couple times.
Wow.
We managed a financial coaching ministry at our church and brought Larry in to help us revamp the elders fund because the church was giving away way too much money without accountability.
We were raised in semi-thrifty homes. Like, both of our parents shopped at the JCPenney's catalog outlet, you know, but they didn't, like, do garage sales or rummage sales, and there were hardly any thrift stores back then. I mean, the thrift store industry has just gone bonkers. There was no such thing as a consignment store back then.
So you were not raised with an extravagant
right.
approach to life. You were raised in kind of that middle class, let's
right.
pinch a penny here.
Right.
But you didn't dive into marriage with an aggressive approach. That's something that that somewhere got birthed in. Was it in your heart?
Actually, we did.
We started with a budget. We learned in our marriage prep class what a budget was, and neither of us had ever lived on it. And when we got started, where it really clicked, there were 2 significant events. One was I got a phone call one day at the printing company. Annette was out running errands, and she said, "Is it a bad thing when water comes out of the tailpipe of the car?" And we were driving a 1976 Chevy Nova. This was in 1982, and it turned out we'd blown a head gasket.
Wow.
Now, we had our budget set up where we were saving in advance for our rent, for our food, for our clothes. We had a little bit of recreation money, and we had an auto account. And we got a quote, and it was going to cost $500 to rebuild the engine, and we didn't have the money. Now, we had a choice to make right there, and that was, were we going to run to the bank, or were we going to run to God? And we chose to wait until God provided through our budget.
Now, we live close to work, so he could bike to work each day.
And we had some friends in our young marrieds class. They said, "We have an extra car. You can drive it on the weekends and drive it to church. The body of Christ provided." And we made it a month, had the money saved, got the car fixed. pivotal point.
What I'm hearing you say, though, there was sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a word that we like to embrace today.
Well, I wrote this down when Crystal was talking because
yes.
she talked about sacrifice going through law school. And I wrote down this phrase, you can cry now or you can cry later. Mm. There was a time when we bought some couches from missionaries going out of the country. They were leaving the country, okay? And these were brown and plaid Mediterranean couches for $25. That's what we could afford. And we sat on those couches for probably about 6 or 7 years. No, maybe less than that.
No, not even.
Our neighbor, the guy I led worship with at Crusade in college, and he was working as a computer programmer earning $30,000. I'm earning $13,000 a year. One day, the Scandinavian furniture truck drove up to our apartment complex. Now, we'd recruited all these couples from our young marrieds class. We had like 8 or 9 couples living in the apartment complex. We had a little commune. Dave's house gets delivered, leather couch, teak, so
dining room table, a hutch. And I just went inside,
and
I just sat on our couches, and I bawled. I cried so hard, but it was at that point where I said, Lord, I want to be thrifty. I don't want to have any debt, but I don't want to have orange and brown plaid couches. they're ugly. And but I'm going to live this way if that means we need to live debt-free.
And about 4 years later, I got a bonus at work, a different job, and I called her up and I said, Mrs. Economides, go out and buy those couches. Mm. And there were couches we saw before we were married. They were at JCPenney's.
Hmm. And we used a coupon.
Yep.
And they changed the terms of the coupon after that.
Yeah, I bet they did.
Crystal, I want you to comment on what Steve said earlier. You did sacrifice so your husband could go to law school. Why is sacrifice so important as you approach the subject of money?
You know, if you don't make sacrifices, if you're not willing to make sacrifices, you're not going to probably reap the benefits. And sacrifice is important because if you can't, you know, like I talked about, you have to make short-term sacrifices for long-term benefits. And so that's in all areas of our life. You know, mm-hmm. if you want to lose weight, you're going to have to sacrifice exercise, get up early and exercise, you know, or you're going to have to eat less. And so sacrifice will help you to achieve those results and you will reap the fruit, but it's hard. And, you know, I remember those times when he was in law school and we literally could not afford, you know, we didn't have $2 to spare in our budget and we couldn't buy anything. I remember when I got pregnant, I couldn't buy maternity clothes because I didn't have any money to even go to the thrift store. And we just prayed. And a friend of mine sent a box of maternity clothes. You know, God always provided. Mm-hmm. But that didn't mean that there were times when it was really hard and when, you know, we had to just get on our faces and cry and say, God, we have to trust you to provide for this for us.
You know, one of the things that you have as an advantage perhaps over other listeners, you grew up in a family where you saw your parents sacrifice so they could give. Mm-hmm. They sacrificed and saved so they could reach out to others and help them. And that really goes back, Steve and Annette, to your book. You're really equipping parents mm-hmm. to train their children with life skills.
That's right.
Absolutely.
About handling money.
And mom and dad have got to embrace those first. You can't train your kids to do something you're not doing yourself, right?
But again, we tell parents, you know what? If this is an area that you need to work on, learn it along with your kids. It's never too late.
You know, we just watched the Olympics this last summer. And I was a competitive gymnast in college, and that's how God used to paid for college for me, which was interesting. But we saw these gymnasts, we saw the track athletes running around those, doing their exercises, and they were phenomenally trained.
Or the girl gymnasts were amazing. Yeah.
But I guarantee you that there was not one of those athletes whose mom or dad did the weightlifting for them. And when we entitle our kids, when we give our kids, I mean, if we're high income earners and we have money, and there were years we earned a decent income, we decided we would not give our kids those things, but we would teach them to earn them themselves. It does a couple of things. It teaches them that they can wait, they can work, and they can get the reward. I mean, the fact that Crystal and her husband went through law school, what a testimony, what a strength they've developed because of working through the hard time. If somebody had gifted it to them, they wouldn't have appreciated it as much. They wouldn't be strong when another trial comes because life is full of trials. They're all lessons for us. So we want to give our kids the best by giving them the strength to go through these things.
Annette, how many kids? Five?
Five.
What ages now?
They range from 18 to 29.
And when they were 8 to 19, if I've got my math right there, Were there any whiners in the bunch going, I don't like being an economies?
Well, I wouldn't say I don't like being an economies, but we did have some that really had more of a tendency to spend their money than others. And so the cool thing about the system that we set up, our Money Smart Kids system, is that, you know, it was cash and envelopes. And when the cash was gone, they couldn't spend anymore. So there were times when we went out for a special sale or something, and one particular kid looked in his envelope, and he didn't have anything. So he came with us, but he couldn't buy anything that day. And we weren't going to bail him out because he needed to learn some how to plan and prioritize his money.
Kids go through various phases. You start, obviously, in the kind of the 0 to 5 age range. That's a time when you train them to do certain things, then the elementary age, and then junior high and high school. Walk through those three phases and give us a couple of tips or important things to consider as you train children in each of those three phases of life.
Okay, at the baby stage, 0 to 5, your kids aren't really making choices. You're making the choices, but you can set in motion a train that's really hard to stop. If you start buying all the designer clothes, all the designer baby gadgets, you set up this expectation in the child's mind that this is how life is.
But from 0 to 5, we say that's a great time to start teaching them how to identify coins, how to let them know that money exists. Our youngest daughter just had a little Minnie Mouse bank, and she'd get some of the money, and she'd just put it in her bank. And at that stage, you know, it would be great for garage sales. She could spend her money at garage sales. From 6 to 11, they're learning a whole lot then. I mean, they're adding, subtracting, they're using percents, they're decimals, and that's at 8 years old, we transfer them to envelopes. And that's when they're really touching cash, right, and figuring out.
They have 3 envelopes, give, save, and spend.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when we do our giving, you know, we have a lot of missionaries we support. Abby, I remember she was, 6 years old, she met Johnny Erickson Tata. And she fell in love with Johnny. She carried her book around for days. and we got a letter from Johnny about something, and Abby said, I want to give to Johnny. And so we all pooled our money. It was a family project, mm-hmm, and we sent some in. And that was her heart.
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible to watch and to bless her. And she still follows her today, and she's mm-hmm 18.
Wow. Yeah. You know? And then from 12 to 17, oh, so much is happening then. But at 12 years old, they start buying their own clothes.
This is so
funny
that you
said
that.
I'm just like, I couldn't believe Crystal said that, because that's exactly the age that we started. And of course, we're going to issue grace. So if, you know, the boys are going through a growth spurt and they've been spending their money wisely and they need underwear or sneakers, we're going to buy them the things that they need. Not the things that they necessarily want, but the things that they need. But when they're buying their own clothes, you know, $200 sneakers are just really not that exciting, because they're just not worth $200 when you have to earn the money to buy them.
Here's something we saw. If I earned $100,000 a year and I was able to afford to give my kids the $200 sneakers, what I've done is I've handcuffed them to my earning level. Let's say they never attain that level. The struggles they're going to experience trying to replicate our lifestyle are epic. If I teach them to spend what they've earned and they exceed my earning, have I handicapped them at all? Mm-hmm. No, and I've actually freed them up to be generous, to give, to save, to do all kinds of, they could accomplish incredible things. So I've basically made them like Warren Buffett, a man who is able to evaluate a business, buy low, grow it, sell high. They're equipped. And that's our goal.
You know, we were not quite as sophisticated as your book talks about here. I wish we'd had your training. Frankly, it would have been of great benefit. But you're reminding me of an epic conversation that pretty much occurred in each of our 6 children's lives when they went away to college, mm-hmm, and they were weaned off the parental wing, protecting mm-hmm them and providing for them. Mm-hmm. And they kept either asking or whining about why they didn't get more money, because they were comparing what they were getting to go to college or what they had to go to college with what their friends were.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dangerous thing, that mm-hmm comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And with each of them, pretty much the following conversation occurred. I'd look them in the eye and say, you know, you're becoming an adult. Becoming an adult means you have adult tastes. And you know what? As a parent, I'm not committed to supplying your adult tastes and meeting all the your desires of what you want in terms of clothing, lifestyle, number of times you eat out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know what? We've set a little budget for you. This is what you're going to college on. And we purposely set it low enough so that you have to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to supplement your
yes.
own income
yes.
if you want to do things in addition. And actually, we visited one of our children when she was in college, and she was eating ramen noodles, Bob.
Well, is that because of the health club membership that she had
signed up for? It was because of the health club membership that she had made, and she was having to live on a budget. Mm-hmm. And the only way she could make the health club membership, which was a bad choice,
yeah.
even though it was only $25 a month,
mm-hmm. yeah. she had
signed a contract for
yep.
a year.
Yep.
And she paid dearly because ramen noodles after a year on Sunday night, they're not a friend.
You know, no. we heard something that probably only 1% of parents ever hear, and that was our son Joe, who's got 2 semesters left in college.
Mm-hmm,
he hasn't
patches.
Borrowed a dime. He said to us when he started, he said, "Mom and Dad, I don't want you to pay a penny for my college." And he's done it. Actually, none of our kids, we helped them through community college classes when they were in high school. And they graduated high school with about 30 credits
right.
towards college. And none of them have borrowed a dime. You know, so starting young gives you that ability to build the strength so that they can accomplish incredible things. I said, "Joe, you may be poor now. You feel like you have no money, but you are going to be miles ahead of your peers when you graduate because you aren't going to be carrying a trailer load of debt behind you."
And Dennis, we do talk in our book. We have a whole chapter on college. I think it's one of the biggest chapters in the book where we talk about how do you set your kids up to do this? You know, from cash to preloaded cards to an account where they can draw from.
To scholarships, to buying mm-hmm. books. There's all kinds of yeah. ways to save.
Parents shouldn't step in and protect their children from reality because they're going to have to live there at some point. And what I like, what you've done in your book and in what you teach there is you're really calling parents to, first of all, as we mentioned earlier, to model mm-hmm. a lifestyle of control, to model giving, really a kingdom mindset of sending it on ahead so that their children know where real value truly is, and then to train their children, practically speaking, to know how to live within their means mm-hmm. and to be able to, well, on the 1 to 5 point scale, Bob, to move to the left a little bit so they can be more generous mm-hmm. on the right.
Well, and it's really all about making choices. I mean, at the end of the day, they are not easy choices for families to make sometimes, but you are making decisions about what you value and what's important and choosing to live within your means. And I think the books by Stephen Annette and Crystal help families be able to do just that more effectively, give you some tips, some help on how you can bring some balance to your family finances. Stephen Annette's book is called The Money Smart Family System, Teaching Financial Independence to Children of Every Age. And Crystal's book is called The Money Saving Mom's Budget, Slash Your Spending, Pay Down Your Debt, Streamline Your Life, and Save Thousands a Year. And we have both books in our Family Life Today Resource Center. Go online at familylifetoday.com for information on how you can order both of these books. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com or call toll-free at 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today, 1-800-358-6329, 1-800-FL-TODAY. And we hope you can be back with us again tomorrow when we'll continue talking about how we can be money smart at home and how we can raise our kids to be money smart as well. I hope you can join us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, and our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.